The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library. I'm the host, the Chris Lorenz. We discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 11. Sitting to my right is...
Robert Kitts.
Sitting to my left is...
Brian Houston.
Sitting to his left...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting across from me...
Vince Maxuka. How was that, Rob?
That was great.
You get that reference?
Got it.
I didn't get that reference.
Don't worry about it.
A little Dexter reference.
Oh, okay.
You know who else was in one season of Dexter?
James Smitserson.
That's right.
Right.
Really?
Jimmy Schmitz was good in that show.
We're going deep on Dexter in 24 Legacy right now.
What season was that from?
Season 3. Season 1 was the good season. Season 2 was about a British tit vampire.
Yes.
Season 3 was... That's actually how she's referenced to in the show. Season 3 was about James Smitserson. Season 4 was about that guy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Okay,
no, I thought that was Season 5.
100% Season 5. Four, I want to say season
100% season 4. I want to say
he said it.
I think Max has been accurate with all his references to Dexter so far.
I think season 5 was girls found in barrels in a swamp,
and from Jason Bourne movies.
I haven't seen Jason Bourne in quite some time.
That's all right.
There was that one Jason Bourne movie where Jason Bourne was played by somebody completely different.
That's right. It was played by Hawkeye.
That's right.
All right. So this episode...
Thanks for tuning in to our Dexter podcast.
This episode was actually pretty good. It was above par.
Good is a word you could use for it, I guess.
I was above par.
It was above par. Yes.
I think as you got to... Like, what scale are we grading here? On the 24 Legacy scale, is this a better than average episode?
100%.
Probably yes.
100%.
Is on a 24 scale.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably a little bit better than average.
But before we continue, I'd just like to commemorate something. Our labeling has been inconsistent, but this is actually the 24th episode of the David Palmer Presidential Library. I just wanted to hear some of everyone's favorite memories of the David Palmer Presidential Library.
My favorite memory of the David Palmer Presidential Library is when we kept making Game of Thrones references during 24 Live Another Day.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
I really liked when we checked out that Stephen King book. It was great. We all read that, right?
I definitely know what you're referring to.
More the fact that we're a library. That's all.
Oh.
That was too deep, Chris.
What? I mean, 24... Live Another Day, the season can't even compare. So when Cat Stark ate it last season, that was real good.
Yeah,
that was great.
I remember Jack, and to do that, I'm drinking not Jack.
Right.
A fine commemoration.
I remember when we did a lot of different drinks of the week, and... I had that liquor in my apartment for years afterwards.
What liquor was that?
That Huddy Sark whiskey that's in my freezer.
Should we have still there?
Oh, yeah. Somebody, like, I mean, like, it's probably ours. It's probably still ready to drink.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
It's age.
Yeah. You know.
I remember the drink where we had absinthe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
was
is definitely
so
not tough. One of my favorite memories of the David Palmer Presidential Library.
You know.
What's our drink of the week this week, Max?
So we actually have a different drink of the week this week. This one is called the Jim Dalla Bean Khalid.
I love it.
It is made of Jim Bean and some ice to cut it because it's fucking terrible.
There you go.
Also notable about Jim Bean, it is not Jack.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's
that. A surprise.
Cool. We're about 5 minutes into this podcast. Do we want to talk about today's episode?
No. Nah.
Nah.
I feel like we should talk about the challenge for a second.
Oh, man. That's a totally different podcast.
This is the wrong podcast.
Sorry.
So yeah. This episode starts, and they're really trying to make up for last week by, like, this week is a big Smits episode.
Yeah.
They're just giving Smits a lot of runway to work with.
And you know it's going to be a good episode when you get Smits featured heavily.
Well, he's definitely the best actor in this show.
And pretty early on in the episode, like, I start getting pretty excited because you're seeing Jimmy Smits and Eric Carter start to team up. I'm kind of envisioning some kind of a Bad Boys 2 situation happening.
Or Men in Black.
And
or the crossover Men in Boys 2.
Men in Boys 2. Some kind of buddy cop situation. And there was
Bad Men in Boys?
There was a little bit of that, but I feel like they didn't really kind of deliver on the whole buddy cop thing with those guys.
Or would it be more of like an Of Mice and Men kind of situation?
What?
Chris pulled that one out of nowhere.
You wanna explain that reference?
It's about two guys and one of them's really dumb. I don't know.
There you go.
Oh, I like that.
I don't
that.
Know who Lenny yeah. would be. Probably Eric Carter because he's fucking awful at his job.
Yep.
If it's between Smits and Eric Carter, for which one is real dumb, it's not that hard to decide.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I took a second to think about that one.
So Smits makes an impassioned plea to Eric Carter about how he got Rebecca in danger and it was a bad idea.
Yep.
And then he gets carted away by medics who are like, yeah, we brought you to this terrorist scene. Now let's go like actually give you some medical care.
Well, like, I mean, Smits basically shows up on the scene and just starts berating Eric Carter. It's like he comes out of nowhere and just starts yelling at him, basically.
There's not enough berating of Eric Carter.
He's not even a CTU agent, guys.
Why does he keep being entrusted to run all these very important operations when he cannot execute a single operation?
Because he's off the books.
Has he had a single successful operation that we've seen this season?
When they rescued the hostage girl, I think that was a pretty good one.
Oh,
overall.
That's fair. He did kill the only lead. But
he
then
did kill
did,
the only
he
lead.
He did rescue the hostage.
I mean,
and him not photographing the girl did cause the terrorist to escape from CTU because they didn't realize that it was the security guy's daughter.
With Smits.
But
girlfriend, not daughter.
Girlfriend.
Sorry, girlfriend.
Not daughter.
Shit.
This
Shit.
Is not some fucking, what's that guy? Woody Allen situation.
Oh, this is not some kind of you the jury. Is it girlfriend or fiance?
Wife. You kept saying
or
wife.
Or Beyonce.
Yeah. anyway.
Yeah.
So Andy Shalowitz has been doing some digging, and he figures out that the director of national security, kidnapped Nasir's daughter?
Yes.
Or does Andy get information that she's dead? What exactly did Andy figure out?
He got information that she was dead.
So I think that they've been operating under the assumption that this daughter was dead.
So I can catch us up on this.
Please do.
Remember that lady with the bomb strapped to her chest?
The daughter?
No, the girlfriend.
The girlfriend?
Oh, okay. Continue.
She was like, yeah, they were speaking a bunch of Arabic, but I heard two English words, East July. And then Andy Shalowitz is like, oh, let me search the entire fucking world and see what East July is. It's a super top secret. You know, let's kidnap Asim Nasiri's daughter.
Because, you know, Google's going to have that information, right?
You know.
The top secret Google.
Teen Google.
CTUgle.
I don't know. CTUgle.
I like it.
It's ridiculous that anybody's talking about
information. I feel like it would be CTUgle.
CTUgle?
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, wouldn't that operation have such a high clearance level that Andy wouldn't be able to get at it?
Andy can get
at
anything.
Or is he just
a
master hacker?
He's a master hacker. We've already figured this out. He hacks that passcode, which could not happen.
That was pretty impressive. I don't even know. There was so little effort used to explain how that happened.
It's just a simple SQL.
He tweeted the SQL. The SQL.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't SQL. It was definitely SQL.
That's when you know that they need a tech consultant on the
show. So anyway, he uncovers this plot to kidnap Asim Nasiri's daughter, and there she is in a farmhouse conveniently located somewhere near DC. What happens next?
I think it's about 2 minutes away.
I think it was more like 5 minutes away from the Pentagon.
Okay, yeah.
Very, very secure location.
Very secure. 5 minutes away from the Pentagon gets you 3 blocks.
Yep.
Yeah. Where do you find a farmhouse 5 minutes away from the Pentagon?
So anyway, like, they discover that this is a thing. So Senator Organa and Eric Carter go to the
MIB
Pentagon.
Boys.
The bad boys in men. They go to the Pentagon to hit up some guy who we've seen throughout the season but never seen his name before. David Sims or something?
I think it was Donald Sims.
Too many Dons. There's Donovan.
There's a lot of Dons. That's right.
Yeah. The director of national intelligence.
Right.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Who and, we've been saying all season seems to be the only smart person in this whole show.
And he continues to be. Like in fact, he's like, oh, CTU's a shit show. I got to send someone to help them out. Because it's like, and he continues to act very sane, but he has other motives. Like,
yeah.
So he sends in a guy from Dexter to go sort of take over CTU.
Yeah.
And that's what sort of Andy loses access to his server. And that's why he tells Eric, you got to go to his office to look this information up because it's the only place we can do it. And that's why he teams up with Smits.
I thought he was kicked off because the security guy found him.
I guess it's not super clear exactly how he got kicked off, but he's like, I've been kicked off. Eric, you got to get into this office.
Yeah. So now they're going to buddy cop it to the office of the Director of National Intelligence. Smitsy calls him up, makes some kind of excuse about how he needs to be there in person to talk to him.
That's not a very convincing excuse either.
Yeah.
It was like, my wife's kidnapped. I got to look you in the eye.
I got to look you in the eye when you
There's
tell me
no
about
way
terrorists.
You get in to the office of the National Security Advisor, or whatever he was, with that excuse. Just not happening.
You can't just roll in at 10:30 p.m. at night.
You can't be rolling into places without like a serious need.
I mean, that guy's seems like he's got a lot of weight, you know?
I mean, if you're that guy and the future president might be coming in to talk to you, I guess
like,
that'll pull some,
sway. If it's during the campaign and Donald Trump's going to roll up, I don't know. Like, are you taking that meeting?
Bad example.
Okay, if the campaign's going on and Hillary Clinton's rolling up.
Well, let's just go with Obama, maybe.
Or Obama. Well, yeah. When Obama was a candidate.
How about with, this is a better example. So it's 2012, Mitt Romney rolls up.
Mitt Romney rolls up.
Let's use that.
Okay. And Mitt Romney's wife has been kidnapped by terrorists. Right? I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
And does the Director of National Intelligence take a meeting with him or not?
I think yes.
I think yes.
I don't know, man. He's got so much work to do. He can't be like bothering talking to like.
Doesn't seem like that guy's doing that much work, really. It's mostly he's just in that conference room, constantly. Which we thought was his office until because every single shot of him was him in that conference room.
And there's a giant sign that says Office of the National Security.
Right. But then this episode, we finally saw him go back to his regular office.
You know, where he takes those private convos.
Yeah.
I guess part of his job, I guess, is political. So meeting with politicians is probably something you would do.
Yeah, like if you're the actual director, your job is very political. If you're like the number three in command, you're like someone who's there
then
for 20 years and you work under different political things. You're like, I just got to get stuff done.
Yeah, and you're working your ass off. Yeah. For sure.
I do wonder, like, 10:30 at night is quite late for him to be there. But
dude,
there's a lot of terrorist things happening today.
He's going to be there until it's solved. Like,
there's, like, multiple insane situations. Like, yeah. They've almost forgotten the George Washington bridge got blown up.
Yeah, they're cleaning that up, though. Like, that's our, like, they know who did it. They're cleaning it up.
It already fell.
Like,
it's fine. We don't need to worry about it.
They're moving on.
They're already starting plans to rebuild
the
thing.
They've rounded up all the sleeper cells at this point. So that's off the table.
Right.
So now they got Rebecca kidnapped by the terrorists.
Right. Literally, all they have left is the life of one person.
Yeah. In the video. That's all that's happening.
What's the video?
The video that they want to make of her reading the confession,
right?
Yeah.
Big one.
Well, they also have the fact that, you know, he was blackmailed with his daughter.
And
that wouldn't go very well with the, you know, politically. If it was going to go well, there was no need to hide it.
No, he still thinks she's dead.
No. Wouldn't he know that she's alive? Like,
who are you talking about?
Asim Nasiri?
Asim Nasiri, yeah.
Nasiri doesn't know she's alive.
Then what's the point? To make him think she was dead?
It's really not clear why they kept her alive and in seclusion when they thought Nasiri was dead.
So,
Does Nasiri know that she's alive?
I guess they didn't know Asim Nasiri was alive or not. He seemed to be in the winds.
I guess.
So it seemed like at some point they tried to use the daughter to influence him, and it didn't work. And yeah. And then instead of killing her, they just kind of kept her around.
Yeah.
In case,
so it was just like...
Because they weren't feeling up to just killing that girl, I think.
So this is Guantanamo, but like in Maryland.
Well, maybe
I
she...
I guess it's Virginia.
I mean...
I was going to say Virginia.
She might not... She might not have been in that house before today. She might have been in some other area.
Yeah, but
and
we,
then they
we
brought
don't
her out
just
to this house because this whole crazy situation is happening.
We don't have prisoners for life here unless you're in Guantanamo.
Right. That's what black sites are for.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm saying that like they might have brought her in or something.
You can't take her off of Guantanamo.
I don't know how Guantanamo works.
Maybe she's in Bethesdanamo.
Oh.
Boo.
Thanks. All right. I mean, it's just not thought out well at all. This whole show.
Yep. Let's move on. She's boring.
So Jimmy Smits and Eric are driving over to go to the Pentagon. And there's some like quick reference to, I'll get my aide to come meet us real quick. And then the next shot, they're just in totally different outfits.
Well, Eric's in a suit. New clothes. They said that.
So they went on a little shopping spree in the middle of
No, the aide will bring clothes. She'll have some for you to fit too.
How did the aide know Eric Carter's suit size?
Because he's in the military. It's all on file. You know, they got measurements.
Look, when you're the senator or like, and to be president, you got the best aides in Washington, D.C.
I get that, but like, if they have to bring him a suit on 20 minutes notice,
it could have just been...
That. They bring a random suit for some other person who is a totally different body size.
It's not like it has to be some like bespoke suit that's perfectly
that
tailored.
That suit looked pretty trim.
It looked good, but it didn't need to be. Like, they could pick whatever suit.
It would have
been
way better if Eric was just in a super ill-fitting suit.
If it was actually one of Jimmy Smits' suits or something.
That
would
be so good. But he just looks super awkward in his giant suit.
Why is your secret service agent wearing that baggy suit?
Oh. Eric Carter was looking good in that suit.
They made a quip about it. There was some reasoning. I just don't remember what it was.
It was pretty dumb, whatever it was.
I'm sure. Man. What about this season hasn't been dumb?
They went to Men's Warehouse.
I knew they
were going to look good.
Buy one, get one.
You guarantee
free.
It?
This podcast brought to you by that one guy from the Men's Warehouse.
I'm more impressed that they got the people from SNL to help them change into goddamn suits in less than 3 minutes.
Oh,
that's
amazing.
There might have been a commercial break in there, Brian. You don't know.
There was a commercial break. That's what I was counting.
Oh, was it? They said that, then they went to commercial and came back in suits?
It was like maybe
I
like
feel
a,
like there was another
It was
scene
like maybe a minute and a half later. Like 3 minutes might have been a little under, but like it was still really fast to change to a suit. I've never changed any set of clothes in under 5 minutes.
It was
especially a brand new suit.
Yeah. It was definitely under 10 minutes, but that was... They had to meet the aide, stop, get out, change, get back, and get back on the road.
Have you seen a little movie called The Hangover? Where they get the suits, they like match speeds and they throw the suits between cars?
Yeah.
Right?
It could have been like that. It could have been like that.
I don't think it was like that.
Have you ever seen a movie called The Little Mermaid? This lady grows legs like immediately, like ASAP. That's nuts.
Movie's nuts.
I don't think she transforms her fins into legs. I mean, she doesn't grow the legs.
That's pretty so amazing. Less nuts.
can't forget dick castles either.
Wait, what?
What?
Wasn't there like a penis hidden in Little Mermaid, or like was it sex? The word sex.
The word sex is in Lion King.
There's like penises in like every Disney movie.
Right.
There's sneaking them in.
I'm pretty sure they were more blatant in The Little Mermaid, though.
Oh, yeah.
Around the castle.
Maybe. I have no idea.
Who knows?
Okay. Azadapi.
Sounds like a topic for another podcast.
All right. Yes, it does.
So now they're rolling up on the Director of National Intelligence in their...
They're rolling to the Pentagon.
Fly suits.
They're like suited up.
Yeah.
But they're... Andy and Cousin Edgar are trying to make a fake Secret Service profile for Eric. And it's just like a really dumb little scene just to build some fake tension where are they going to let Eric into the Pentagon or are they going to shoot him in the head? And then it's totally fine to let him in.
Yeah. No, they were just going to ask him to leave.
Yeah, why would they just shoot him immediately in the head?
Why not?
I mean, they might arrest him. I feel like if you try to get in the Pentagon and you don't have access, they'd probably just arrest you.
So let's go back to our Mitt Romney example. So Mitt Romney rolls up the security guard at 10:30 at night. And the security guard has some weird problem with getting badging in. Or do they be like, well, sorry, we can't let him in? Or does Mitt Romney just go, it's fine, he's with me?
Well, I mean, if it's Mitt's guy... If he's on Mitt's staff, I think that they probably maybe they have extra security escort or something, and maybe they pat him down and do some extra screening. But if it's a Secret Service guy whose badge isn't working, I think that they're definitely going to remove that guy because they
I think that
seems like a more serious situation.
Yeah, if he came in and was like, "Yeah, this new security guard hasn't been like he's been vetted, but he doesn't have his badge yet."
Because like,
you're not allowed in that building without like a top secret or secret clearance.
But it's like, oh, you have a Secret Service agent and he has a badge, but the badge doesn't work and he's not in the system. So like, who is this guy?
To be fair,
then he'd just be arrested immediately.
He didn't have a badge. He had a QR code on his phone.
That seemed very sketchy. I don't know if that's standard procedure for Secret Service.
But the QR code also shows his face and stuff. I feel like that's a decent amount of like two-factor authentication.
No, yeah, I understand that, but when he was scanning it, it wasn't working. Like if they never got it to work, then there's definitely a huge problem.
Yeah, I don't think you're just a random security guy off the street that Mitt Romney hired. No, he's not allowed in the building. You'll just get their security.
I guess
like there's no need to have Mitt Romney's guy. They just have their own security.
You never know, man.
Mitt Romney needs his guy.
Doesn't matter.
Just like
he doesn't have top secret clearance.
Smith's
he's not allowed in.
Like. At that point in a presidential campaign, you just have Secret Service. So I think that Eric is trying to be a fake Secret Service guy, right?
Yeah. If it's Secret Service, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So if it's that point in a presidential campaign, he has Secret Service, where the hell is his real Secret Service?
Who knows? Well, they were with him at the soccer field, and then Eric's like, hey, I got a plan to save Rebecca. And then he's like, hey, all you guys take a hike, and then they all like leave.
I guess the Secret Service let him got kidnapped because the guys who were with him got shot by the terrorists.
Yeah, those guys are definitely dead, yeah.
Then he haven't gotten them.
Those are some subpar Secret Service agents.
Yeah, real weak sauce there.
Why did they give Smith's the C-team?
Those guys didn't even get a single shot off on those kidnappers. They just took it.
Phrasing.
Like, definitely shitty, but
correct phrasing.
Come on, like, there's not many agents that would actually be able to handle that situation. Like, they'd better agents probably would have gotten
that
shot off.
That is the exact situation that these guys are trained to handle, like someone trying to abduct the person that they're trying to protect.
Right. And like
right?
And they're like ex-military, like, I'm sure.
That they do all day is drill for this situation, right? Like,
well, not all day
no,
they're following.
Sure.
Him,
but that's
what
these guys
training,
that's
sure.
How these guys train is they drill for this exact situation.
I actually wonder what the retraining regimen is like for them, cuz like if they're on duty, they're not going to have any time to train.
Maybe they kind of go like on cycles, like they do like, you know, however many months on, and then they do however many months training, and then
it's like 2 weeks. 2 day, 3 day training, 4 days off.
Yeah, who knows?
But in any case, they were garbage, but it was still a difficult situation. I'm not counting them out.
I'm not saying it wasn't difficult.
I'm counting them out.
Yeah.
Because they're dead.
Well, yeah.
They're dead.
Well, we don't know if they're dead, but
they
were shot.
Like they were dead at the time, at least.
I would play dead.
They're pretty dead.
I would totally play dead.
So they get in the building.
In the Pentagon.
In the Pentagon.
Any building.
They get into the Pentagon.
How many sides of the building is there?
Pentagon, that's going to be 5 sides.
Oh, okay.
Boom. And then they find their way unescorted.
No. Someone escorts them to the National Security Bar's office, then just leaves.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And leaves Jimmy Smits and this random guy with the National Security Advisor.
It's like, hey, Secret Service guy, you got this, right? And Eric's like, yep, totally.
Then he closes the door and just pulls a gun on the national security.
How did
advisor.
He get the gun in the building?
No, he definitely handed the gun to security. Gun. And then as soon as his QR code was good, they handed him the gun back.
Yeah, because he's Secret Service. He should have a gun.
Yeah.
But he's not Secret Service.
No, that's a fake Secret Service badge, man. I don't think
you're allowed to bring a gun to that kind of building.
You'd be a terrible Secret Service agent if you didn't have a gun.
If you're Secret
you
Service, you're allowed
no,
to have
you
guns.
Get the gun on your way out. You
there are
the
a ton,
no. outside.
There are a ton of people with guns in that building. There are a lot of security people with guns in that building, right?
Yeah, but those are the Pentagon's guys. They're not...
They have an understanding with the Secret Service when...
They're not, no.
Like, when, like, one of, like, two people who has Secret Service protection comes through.
The Pentagon does not allow people to just have guns all over the place.
I guarantee you those Secret Service agents that visit the Pentagon have guns with them.
Yeah,
those guys have guns all the time.
Heavily vetted. You can't just count them out.
Dude.
I don't think you're allowed to have guns in the Pentagon unless you're like part of the army or whatever.
Secret Service is like better than part of the army.
Yeah.
You're just letting more people with guns in.
America.
But the good guy with a gun is going to solve
all
the problems. All right,
let's just move on. Let's just move on.
The president
is
the commander of the military. So he can bring in whoever the fuck he can bring in his crew if he wants to, right? Probably.
Let's get just move
on. So right before Smits rolls in, the national security advisor makes a special phone call.
Oh, who's he make it to?
He's concerned about this whole
East July
10-year-old terrorist daughter he's got in a farmhouse. So he calls the only guy he can trust, Mr. Tony Almeida.
He's back.
I still don't understand how he's out of jail.
Well, I think there's signs that the national security advisor bust him out of jail to do some off the books jobs for him.
He just murdered somebody in cold blood in this episode.
He totally did.
Like on U.S. soil. That's not okay by any stretch of the imagination.
That's the price for him getting out of jail is that he has to do these insane jobs.
So he's like 007. He's got a license to kill.
He has sold his soul to be a free person. And
it
now
doesn't
he has to
matter.
Do all this bullshit.
You can't just be murdering people.
Not only are we saying maybe that's okay, was that kill of the week?
Oh, that was definitely kill of the week.
It's
it was
just
one
like,
of the few kills.
I was like, I don't know what the other options are, but that was definitely the best one.
So, I mean, if Tony's making these quasi-government-sanctioned kills, he's got really, like, one, he's a goddamn professional and he knows how to cover his tracks.
Uh-huh.
And two, these guys aren't going to start a huge investigation around this murder that they know that they ordered to secretly commit. Like they're gonna keep that on the down low. I think
they're not the only ones that would be investigating this murder.
All that needs to happen is the director of national intelligence just calls up the local police guys, like, "Hey, man, you're not gonna look into this thing," and then it's just over.
Right? Maybe I don't know. He's just like, I feel like it's bad form for him to go just murder people like that.
Oh, I'm not saying that I approve of Tony murdering Americans on American soil, but. I also don't know if that guy was an American, but he was definitely
there. He was covering like a top secret asset. I'm sure he was American.
Can you work for CTU if you're not American?
Who? Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
Kind of quick sidebar. So like, remember back like during the bridge scene where CTU just called up that officer and was like, "Yo, this is CTU. You need to watch out for this situation."
Yeah.
How often could that ever happen? Like, who's just going to believe, like, some random phone call, this is CTU?
I mean, I feel like if they're just saying, watch out for this, I mean, I would watch
hey,
out.
Go find this card, shoot that person in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah, I'm well, like, CTU, Bobby, is that you? Get off the phone.
Yeah.
Don't call my work number.
Brian, this is your goal for the week. I want you to call up random bridge security and be like, "This is CTU," and see what they do.
Can I get some jail insurance before I do this?
This is CTU.
There's a white van
counter-terrorist unit. You dummy.
There's a white van driving.
Yeah, don't say you're from the NSA. Say you're from CTU. It's not a felony.
If I say I'm Jack Bauer, does that count?
This is Jack Bauer.
I think
there's a bomb on that truck. Shoot the driver.
If they ask you any questions, be like, "Damn it, we don't have time for this."
Damn it, we're running out of time.
I could probably just use a soundboard.
Yeah,
too.
I gotta get that soundboard.
It's great.
Anyway.
Good sidebar. Good sidebar.
So what else do we need to even talk about here?
There's only 1 week left.
So we got...
Well, we also have to talk
Director
about
of National Intelligence being held at gunpoint by Jimmy Smits.
We have to talk about what happened to the house.
At some point, he puts the gun down.
At some point, he puts the gun down, and you swear that someone's going to make a move for it. No one makes a move for it. He picks the gun back up and points it at his head again.
And then he pistol whips him.
Here's the thing. He picks up a cell phone and he's like, damn, it's got a 4-digit PIN on this thing. It's probably encrypted or something. And in order to operate the phone and to attempt to type this 4-digit PIN in, he puts the gun down and just starts two-hand typing with it. It was so unnecessary.
Does he ever hand the gun over to the...
It's like, hey, man, hold this while I type
National
on this
Security
on your phone
Advisor?
Really quick.
I mean, it could be like an iPhone Plus and it's just too big to one-hand type.
It's just so ridiculous.
But yeah. Does he ever hand the phone over to be like, put the PIN in? Or does he just berate him for it? Because like, if you ever give the suspect the phone, you just break the phone and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, they got that great CTU agent that can hack, you know, across the country.
Yeah, I don't even... So then they call up Andy and say, hey, we need to be able to get into this encrypted phone so we can call off Tony, who's closing in on Eric trying to save this girl at the house.
So there is no way to get the encryption number code from anything. That's got to be at least like a 256 key bit encryption. It'll take you like a billion years to unlock.
It's super unclear how they even are getting that to
how they're connecting.
It's
to
just
the
like there's just like some phone that like that Jimmy Smits is holding.
Don't worry, it's on the Wi-Fi. Don't worry about it.
Like, did he plug his phone into his other phone? Like, what happened here?
I have to say, the CG on the phone was pretty good this week.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't as bad as it's been in the past.
Okay, so we should discuss like all the technical inaccuracies of this and like kind of determine like what one's the best. The ability to hack this phone remotely. Or, like, the ability to just feed memory to some other computer.
Through some sockets.
Yeah.
SQL sockets, or what did
no,
he say?
No, SQL. You got to tweak the SQL.
Well, I was watching Designated Survivor today, and they had an insane piece of fake tech where they needed someone's fingerprint for something, and there was a photograph, and they lifted the fingerprint off of a wine glass in the fucking photograph. You were like,
well, it depends how big the resolution.
It was like, it was.
I remember. I know what scene you're talking about.
It was a little ridiculous,
but it's not nearly as ridiculous as getting this passcode.
Oh, sure, sure.
Off the phone that they're not connected to at all.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's crazy, but
at least I feel like Designated Survivor does a much better job with tech, but not a great job with tech.
Yeah. I mean, 24.
24 Legacy is probably the worst I've ever seen.
Whoa.
Like, it's like we're back to like the net.
The net.
I think it'd be a little fun to do that for a little bit. Like, okay, my typical job is software development, but then I just roll into this movie set and just say, hey, these are all the technical inaccuracies. Let's make it that much cooler.
The problem is they paid zero people, $0 to make this show.
Right.
So they're going to pay you negative dollars. You have to pay to be the tech advisor.
I'd also
24 Legacy.
I'm getting on those credits, though. That's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, that's what they pay you.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what you're paying for.
This is a unpaid internship.
And I feel like there are definitely other shows that have really good technical advising, like Mr. Robot.
Yep.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They know what's up.
I feel like that guy, just Sam Esmail, Nate Snows.
Yeah, I think some of that.
Sam Esmail. Let's move on.
What?
I'm going to keep this for off the podcast.
Okay.
Oh, man. Secrets.
You're denying our listeners.
Sam Esmail. About to marry into my family.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Buddy.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
I am not invited to that wedding.
That sucks.
Do we gotta crash that wedding?
Crash. Wedding crashers.
Maybe.
DPPL on
you
the
just
road.
Have to pretend like you're related.
What do you mean pretends?
He is related. Just referring to the movie.
You and I got to pretend we're related, Chris.
I don't know how that's going to work out.
We'll figure it out. We're going to sneak in with those Eric Carter skills.
Oh. I gotta get family credentials.
I got to get a wig with like a Jufro.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
That'll help.
That'll help sexist, a lot. Chris.
That's fair. All right. What the hell happened in this episode? Does it matter?
We forgot about Rebecca.
We do gotta mention what Rebecca did.
Oh, yeah.
She breaks a bottle and almost commits suicide, but she gets caught. But I thought that was a real pro move.
Yeah.
And she even waits for the random siren to go by to break the bottle, so it's less noticeable.
Right. Although I think you could totally notice a breaking bottle over.
I agree with that.
But still, like
they were talking, you know.
And we were all like, "Oh, she's gonna try to cut the tape holding her wrist together with that." And I was like, "Nope, she's digging into her wrists."
She just laying
that's
there.
What I thought she was doing, and then I'm like, "Oh,
she definitely wasn't doing that."
And then, like at some point,
and she's bleeding there for a good like 20-30 minutes.
Yeah. And then the dude just kind of looks back. He's like, "Oh shit!" She just bleeding down on the floor of the van.
Yeah, Nasiri is like, "Oh,
yeah."
She's got to cut. You got to cut along the river, not across.
Were her hands in front or behind her?
Front.
No, yeah, so I feel gonna, like they were behind. It was in front for that scene.
No, it was definitely. They had lots of shots of her with the hands just kind of in front of her face.
So why not go for the jugular?
Sure.
Like that's the fastest way to actually achieve.
Maybe
what
she
do.
Just wanted to be able to pass out for a couple days.
Oh, maybe.
In right, hopes that somebody survived.
Because she knows that they want to take this video of her or whatever.
And hope that somebody finds her.
I was really hoping when Nasiri was sort of trying to get her back to consciousness and stuff, and she seemed to be kind of rousing, that she would just say, "Tony, is that you?" Because A, he kind of looks like Tony, and B, there's the Tony backstory we don't know that much about.
That would have been great.
I was hoping she'd maybe just spill some beans about the Tony
you think
life.
There's like a love story here.
They admitted there was.
What?
Yeah.
You don't remember this? No. We talked a lot about this the episode they admitted it. That's why Aisha too is not too happy about Rebecca being on the scene.
Yeah.
Because they have a history.
I thought you mean she just. Oh, yeah, yeah, way back in the day. I thought you meant like post prison. Breakout.
Well, we talked about how the timeline makes no sense because it couldn't have happened pre-prison, but doesn't make sense post-prison either.
Right.
Yeah. Now that you say that brings a bell.
I feel like Aisha 2 might be the most inconsequential character of the entire season.
They set her up so hard and
just
we don't
nothing.
Know what's going to happen this episode.
Oh, last episode,
she's in a prime spot.
Aisha 2 rips the mask off. Who is it really?
Aisha?
Chloe.
Oh, that would be the greatest.
Chloe.
Wayne Palmer. Dwayne the Rock Palmer.
Oh.
Wayne's back.
What if it's the real Tony?
No. I got it.
Oh.
I got it. Our buddy Boudreaux.
Big booty.
Boudreaux.
Big oh, booty. Boy.
Booty and the beast.
Oh, man. So, what else
episode,
we got?
So the episode just like Eric gets to the farmhouse for Tony for some reason, even though he finds out about it way later.
He didn't get paid yet.
Sure, yeah. Tony did need to get.
Tony did move. Insist on getting paid first and made a point of saying to Aisha too, "Hey, this doesn't make up for the other job we didn't get, but you know, we'll get some money out of this."
Yep.
And then
sounds like he's in for a rough job.
Eric takes out the one guy guarding it, ties up the other guard, gets the daughter, but then Tony and crew roll up, and as we talked about, Tony just talks to one guy and then just shoots him in the head. Real casual.
Yeah.
You could see that a mile away.
Why didn't Tony double tap though? You gotta double tap.
It totally reminds me of that scene in Fast Five where The Rock is like on the bridge and then like the dude who's the bad guy for like the whole movie is just like, "Oh, help me," he's just not even thinking about it, just wrecks him.
Oh yeah.
Totally reminds
me
of
that. But this guy's so inconsequential, he's just some fucking lackey security guard.
Definitely a red shirt.
Nobody in, nobody out, Chris.
So Is he some kind of private security guard? Like, he's not working for the government, even though it's kind of this government operation, right?
Maybe he's some sort of Tony-type character.
Oh.
Maybe he's working... Maybe Tony is the guy that's in charge of this whole situation to begin with, and he's working for Tony.
Nah.
What if Tony is the president?
Hell of a twist.
What if Mark Boudreau is the president?
That would be amazing. We're so in for season two. That's what they dropped in the last episode.
I'm really hoping for a big president reveal at the end of this thing.
Well, they did drop a couple of episodes ago.
Bauer.
Smits had some meeting with a guy after 11 o'clock, which is the next episode.
Oh.
So they foreshadowed some big meeting with Smits and an unknown political person. And I'm real hoping that they're really going to nail this. I don't have a lot of confidence in 24 Legacy, but that's one potential finale thing they've got kind of foreshadowed.
Okay. Yeah.
Who could it be that you would like? I mean, Mark Boudreau is clearly the best winner.
Obviously, in this room, it's Mark Boudreau or nothing.
I would be very interested to hear how he got from being in jail to being president. But yeah, that'd be great.
Don't worry about it. How did Tony get to being in jail to out of jail?
What's the best presidential crossover you can think of?
Independence Day.
Oh, that'd be a pretty good one. Bill Pullman.
Really fits into that Men and Boys too.
No, now it's two.
Got them aliens.
I don't know what other White House.
I'm going to say Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I feel like she could be really good in a dramatic role and also a president.
What about Harrison Ford?
Yeah. Was he ever a president?
Yeah.
Air Force One. Get off my plane.
Get off my plane.
Has Nicolas Cage ever been president?
Oh, what about a Con Air Force One?
Yeah.
24. Oh,
do you know who it is? It's Jamie Foxx from the White House Down movie.
That's pretty good.
That's going to be.
That'd be amazing.
And Channing Tatum is a Secret Service agent.
I hope it's the president from Idiocracy, President Macho Camacho.
Yeah, I think we got to take this in real life.
They should.
George W. comes in as president. That would be pretty baller.
That's too real.
That'd be great, though.
We're going to get the
terrorist. He makes
terrorists.
His acting debut.
Right, I got one idea that would get us almost as excited as Mark Boudreau, although it's less likely than Mark Boudreau.
Audrey?
That's
President Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
100%. Definitely not happening.
That would be, man. Right,
we can get President Trump, maybe.
No.
Guest spot?
Right, he has only the best ratings.
It's true.
No.
So do you have any predictions for the final episode? Because
everything's resolved, all the bad guys die, the ends.
Does Tony die? Is he a bad guy?
Tony is turned to his side.
Tony's going to be dead, I think, in this face-off with Eric Carter.
All right. Here's hot take.
Hot take.
Tony gets his arm chopped off. He's shouting, no. And then next season, he comes back with a robotic arm.
How does that arm get chopped off?
Obviously, Eric Carter, he shoots. And then from the ceiling, some sort of axe falls down and knocks off his arm.
Wow, okay.
Everyone has an ornamental axe in their house.
I mean, it's a farmhouse. It could be like a scythe or something.
It's a Home Alone situation.
Yeah.
Well,
the first 10 minutes of the next episode is Eric setting a bunch of devious traps.
That would be so good.
If they don't do that, it's a huge miss.
You know how good Eric is. So, obviously, Eric's not going to do that on purpose.
Yeah, but I think that the reason that Eric would set a bunch of Home Alone style traps is because he's not good at his job and he's basing his strategy on Home Alone.
I feel like that would be great. He sets all these traps and then Tony just walks around them all and goes in the other door.
He's like, oh, it seems like that doorknob's pretty hot. No one touched the doorknob. They just kick it in. Yes.
I feel like this would be a really great TV game show where you just rig a house and somebody has to get through it in a minimum amount of time or something.
It's like Wipeout the House Edition.
Sure, but you have two teams. You have
Freddy Krueger lookalikes to come in.
It's like a haunted house now.
Sure. No, I mean, that's part of the house. I mean, it's got to be scary.
Part of the house escapes is the house is haunted. It has to be haunted.
It's got to be haunted.
Oh, man.
So one thing about this episode, no Isaac or Nicole.
None.
That's true.
You got to save on that money.
Are they coming back for the next episode? Yeah. Or are they done?
Oh, no, they ride off into the sunset.
They can't just drop that whole Nicole Louise thing on the floor at this point. Like Eric has to be reunited, I think. I mean, provided that he's still alive.
Well, I don't know if they're going... Like, I feel the signs are Eric and Nicole don't reunite because Eric's going to leave her to join the life of CTU.
Sure, but there has to be some kind of resolution to that, probably.
Are they going to keep following season one of 24 and somehow, in a way that seems inexplicable at this point, Nicole dies at the end of the episode?
Or she turns
mole. It's possible.
She could turn mole at the end of the season.
Do you have to do mole watch right now?
I think we're in predictions, though.
Okay, we'll save that then.
Well, we'll do it right afterwards. I don't... The next episode, I can't even imagine. Maybe they'll go to like a stadium and they'll have like, you got to be visible so we can blow you up with the drones that we have. And then they swap it out with a double the last second.
Oh, man. So innovative.
They actually have a decent amount to do in the last episode. They got to wrap up this farmhouse. They got to wrap up Rebecca and all that. They got to wrap up Isaac Nicole. They got to wrap up the fact that we didn't even talk about Keith choked out the guy from Dexter.
Oh, yeah. They got to arrest the director of National Intelligence in a second here.
Well, we don't know.
Smits has to end his campaign, or does he?
No. Smits is going to be some kind of hero coming out of this thing.
I feel like you have to arrest the senator and the... And the other guy.
Do we see Papa Organa in the last episode?
Papa Organa is useless now. His contact with the terrorists is utterly...
Do we see Tio Organa?
No.
Did anything come of that lead where there's like, hey, the uncle is with the terrorists?
They wrote
him
off the show.
Yeah, he's gone.
He just ran away. And they're like, well, let's do that.
I mean, Papa Organa
did
get them
into
that
guy, I guess.
The Pentagon.
Yeah.
Papa Organa didn't do anything to get them in the Pentagon.
Sure he did.
What did he do?
That was the one that got them the meeting with the national...
No, Senator Organa did that.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, yeah. Senator Organa.
That happened to me last episode, too.
I forgot.
It's tough.
That Papa Organa is their separate person. Yeah, we're definitely not seeing Papa Organa.
No, he's taking a nap. He's sleeping at this point, I think. He's had a long day being tortured. And being accused of treason.
You gotta take a nice nap after that.
You gotta unwind, you know.
It's also after 11 p.m. He's got an older guy. You know, it's probably past his bedtime.
Even on a normal day, he'd be going to sleep. Today, he's definitely already asleep.
So, I want to take a complete, utter, like, non sequitur here. I'm looking around Harrison's room. I see a framed football, a framed basketball, and a bottle of orange soda up on a shelf.
Yep.
I gotta ask, why? Is it signed by Kel Mitchell or something?
You should go take a peek.
Do you actually not know this story?
I 100% do not know this story.
But take a peek. So, Max, go take a look.
Is it 100% what I said?
So the basketball is signed by Michael Jordan.
Okay.
The football is signed by Devin Hester.
Oh.
And the bottle of orange soda is signed by Kel Mitchell.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty great, right?
Funny story is around this time that Harrison got this bottle of orange soda signed, I pitched to him a commercial that, because he was running commercials at the time, with Keenan and Kel.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly the time to bring up Keenan and Kel. And he would never pitch it to anyone. He just would tell me he was, and he wouldn't. And then at some point, somebody actually made a Keenan and Kel commercial, and it was like bananas on the internet for a week. But no, it was too busy for Harrison.
I think it was a Jimmy Fallon skit, but yeah. It did
whatever.
Well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody else had like sponsored this like event at work that Kel Mitchell was the host of, and... end up being able to get this 2-liter. So, like, my coworker is like in Boston at this event, and I'm like, dude, go to the 7-Eleven down the street, pick me up a 2 of orange soda, and get this dude to sign it. And came through. It's great.
I wonder how many orange sodas he signed.
So many.
I'm also really surprised that you were able to like pack this and not just have the Sharpie come off.
This is the only apartment that thing's ever been in. That's the only spot that thing's ever been.
Right, but like, how'd you transport it?
Oh, transported? I didn't transport it, but yeah. It's pretty good.
All right.
All right, so should we do Mole Watch?
I have one last prediction.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer's just going to be in some end credit scene for the end of the season.
Nope.
Like, he's just going to like throw off his sunglasses, done.
This is not getting renewed.
Like, but I think that's where they spent their money.
I mean, it has 58% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's almost fresh.
That's goddamn amazing.
That means that more TV critics think that this is good than
the,
bad.
The actual rating is pretty low, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's 5.75 out of 10.
But, like, most of those are from the first two episodes, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Like, this podcast was pretty positive about the first two episodes.
There was definitely a good outlook from the first episode, and
right. I don't remember the second one. If you write if you're a professional critic, you just see the first two episodes, write a review, you're going to write a positive review saying there's some potential here.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't think I have anything for our Mole Watch this week. I'm just like...
It'll be real nuts if they bust out a mole in the middle of the last episode.
I mean... We already know that the new guy that showed up at CTU is a mole.
He's not a mole. He's just working against.
Well,
CTU.
They're not working against CTU.
He is working for the director of national intelligence at CTU, and that dude's trying to make sure that they're not going to investigate this other crazy situation he's in. Right?
Let's back this up. Back this up.
Sure.
I don't think the national security, whatever, is actually doing anything wrong here. Senator
further.
Organa is just trying to get him to use her again to get data to get his wife back.
Are you talking about you don't think that the director is doing anything wrong by taking this girl hostage and
I don't think it's like
blackmailing this terrorist about it.
It's not black. We don't know what he's doing with her.
There are very few options. Like he has kidnapped this guy's daughter. And
yeah, but CTU said it was okay. So I can't imagine like the rest of the government would be like, oh, arrest that guy. Because Rebecca was involved. They said that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man.
So I don't think it's like immediately, oh, like, that's so bad.
But
it's
I think that Rebecca could have been involved. Like, I think that at the upper levels of the government like that, there's opportunity to have these operations that are kind of these off the books operations.
I don't think that's how that works.
There's some of these off the books operations.
Yeah, if it's off the books operations, then it's okay. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's...
I don't know. But my point is that the director sent that other guy... To help the Keith run CTU,
yeah,
to help. Basically spy on what they're doing at CTU,
yeah,
sure,
right,
yeah. Also, the guy is the human equivalent of a naked mole rat.
Oh yeah,
100%. Hence mole.
And it's basically explained when he comes in that he has zero field experience, and Keith is the guy with the field experience. That becomes very apparent.
However, he seems to have quickly mastered, CTU resources. He knows that they're using way too many computers for a non-operational situation.
It's true.
I don't understand why he thinks there's no operation going on when the GWB has just been bombed or whatever.
Right.
But,
they're like trying to clean up like 15 sleeper cells.
Yeah.
I mean,
who the fuck knows?
I mean, and they know that they're tracking Rebecca now too, right?
Or they're trying to find Rebecca.
We're trying to apply logic.
So he knows the exact amount of computer resources it requires to track Rebecca in this ambiguous situation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really...
Why doesn't Andy just flag his computer as finding Rebecca?
Like, is it a problem that these resources are being used? I mean, I guess that he did notice that Andy was sucking down big resources trying to crack that encryption on that phone.
You gotta tweak the SQL.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I mean, I'm guessing... the end of next season, they will have a reveal of a previous 24 legacy character. 24, you know, actor.
End of next season or next week?
The end of next week, next which week. Is the end of this season. Yeah.
Got it.
I think that they're going to have a tough time staying in the game with this show if they don't have somebody else coming back. I don't know.
I feel like it might be Chloe.
Well, they don't have to bring someone else back for the finale. They just have to bring someone else back to put in all the commercials for the season two premiere.
But I think that you need to set it up with a stinger at the end of the season.
Right, but there's only like 7 people watching 24 Legacy anymore, and 5 of them are us.
Sure.
I don't know. I maybe they tease somebody off screen. You don't know who it is. And they'll figure it out in the off season.
It's Thanos
with the Infinity Gauntlet. No, it's the Hulk.
Like the other way, they could, like, there's a couple things they could do. Like, they could bring someone from the 24 universe back. They could just bring some other like famous actor who's like going to be teased to be in the next season.
Jason Statham, maybe.
That'd be amazing. If Jason Statham was in the next season of 24 Legacy, wouldn't you watch the first episode?
I don't know. After this season, I don't think so.
What about like...
Because Eric Carter will be in it.
What about maybe like Stanley won't. Baratheon?
Ooh. It would be... How great would it be like, oh, this Eric Carter's not working out. We just gotta get rid of him. And they off him in this next episode.
Isaac.
That's the thing. Like, the other thing I was going to say is do some crazy twist at the end that we kind of don't see coming. We see them killing Nicole coming, but what if they kill like Eric? And that's the end of the first season.
Ooh. Yeah, what if they kill Eric and Nicole is the next Jack Bauer?
No.
I don't see that
hard
coming.
Hard pass.
I mean, she's had some moments where she's kicking some ass.
Yeah, I don't know. She seems pretty opposed to the whole CTU situation.
Yeah, well, that makes her a much better Jack Bauer of like, oh, we need you to... And she, like, she's trying to resist.
And she's very reluctant.
Whereas like Eric is just like, CTU, I love you. Let me hump you.
Why doesn't CTU have any field medics? I feel like, you know, she could be a field medic and go accompany Eric on missions and shit.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a cool, like, sort of buddy cop, but also the make out situation.
I think.
What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give us some content here in a contentless world.
I'm still holding out for the Aisha comeback. In the last episode.
Like, do you think Aisha is the teaser for season two?
That would be amazing.
I think
Aisha is like now in a suit.
Oh.
And just seems like, and like she talks differently. And just like, it's like a different universe.
You won't
thing
even
goes on.
Is she
still playing Aisha, or is it just the same actress playing a different role in the show?
No, she's Aisha.
Okay.
But it's like Aisha parallel universe, she's transformed.
Oh. What if Aisha was with CTU all along and she was deep undercover?
I was just going to say that.
That'd be so good.
She's some sort of British
spy. She's the mole.
Yeah.
She was the mole in Isaac's crew.
And, like, you know, there's obviously, you know, big writing issues with the show, but I feel like they just need some more in the acting horsepower department. Like, Smits can't do everything on his own.
I don't know, man.
His back's getting sore from carrying this show.
I feel like every episode they're introducing like a new MacGuffin or a new offshoot of a character. There's no like setup for a setup of a setup to finish it. Like, I feel like the writing is just like it's really bad. Holding the show back.
It's bad.
I mean, we've talked about it, but like, I think what happened was they were halfway through the season and they're like, this isn't working. And now they're just scrambling to try to do random things just to try to keep it going.
Yeah, but they're like, okay. We got to scrap our plans after that. And then we're just like, what? Looking at a deer in headlights, like not even setting anything up for 6 episodes. They're just like,
yeah, no, for sure.
Like one episode to the next, not really thinking about what they're going. It's really frustrating. I guarantee you Eric could come out and say this was a disaster.
Like the actor who plays Eric, Dr. Dre?
Yes, Dre. Dr. Dre.
Young Dre.
Because
I feel like he's a much better actor than he's showing on the show, and I can't blame him.
He was good in Straight Outta Compton.
I didn't see that, so I can't.
Did anyone see Kong Skull Island?
I did.
How was he in that?
I mean, the acting really wasn't the shining star of that movie.
So he's 1 for 3, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't blame him for that though.
Okay.
I would blame the writing as well.
But so maybe he's just bad at picking projects.
I feel like the King Kong movie is probably going to keep going, so I don't think that's a...
Okay.
This show I don't think is going to keep going, so maybe not.
That's tough.
It probably has one more season in it before they try to can it. They're probably going to like continue it for the next season. They probably have a plan.
I don't know.
So if they're going to bring in some more like star talent on this thing, who would you want to see them bring in? Like non 24 people.
Damon Lindelof.
So you're talking about star writing talent. Bring in some star writing talent. Yeah. Okay.
I want somebody outside the 24 to be like, we're coming in here. We're going to make this thing great. And it's going to be like, we're not going to use any of these 24 tropes, but it's going to be set in along the same themes. So they can bring their own themes and their own ways to do it into the show. Whereas like right now, it's just like they gave some interns some time to write some scripts.
I would love to hand this thing to the team that did like Zero Dark Thirty and whatever the bomb one was.
Heart Locker,
yeah. Those two, like, hand to that team. I feel like they do a great job with this subject matter. It'd be really good.
You know who I think would like really subvert the usual expectations of like the big bad terrorist, but still fit America's expectations of what a terrorist looks like? Aziz Ansari.
That'd be pretty crazy.
He'd be like an insane.
There was
funny guy.
There was that one season where Cal Penn was a terrorist.
Is that true?
And it was pretty insane.
Oh my god.
It was
I
nuts.
Do not remember that.
I did not see that season.
Yeah.
It was pretty nuts.
Oh, wait, was that season 5?
No.
Huh. And now they're working together in the White House.
Yeah.
Designated
That's right.
Survivor.
That's why it would have been so great if Cal Penn was playing Cal Penn on Designated Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just talk to President Kirkman. You know, I was on 24 once. I worked with Kiefer Sutherland. And President Kirkman's like, tell me more.
Ooh.
I saw a video of him fall into a Christmas tree once. It was great.
We need a video of young Dre just taking out a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
Our opinion of him would go way up. So to bring it back, I'm going to make an official mole prediction, even though it's probably not happening.
I'm not writing it down.
Edgar boyfriend again.
If I was going to say that, if I was going to pick somebody, that would be Edgar's boyfriend.
That guy hasn't been on the show in weeks.
I know, so that's they're setting us up for the shocking reveal.
Nah, he's off. Aisha's off. Everyone is off.
What if it's Smits?
You picking Smits?
Ooh, man.
You can still make one last pick.
I'm going to go Smits in my last week.
I'm not writing it down
because
I don't believe any of this shit's
going to happen.
That's fine.
Mark my words.
We'll go back to the tape if we need to.
Yeah. If anyone wins, I'll have to go back to the tape.
Brian, you got an official mole pick?
No. I think there's like no more moles in this season. I think that like it's just going to come into them wrapping up the loose ends and then some surprise cameo. That's it.
Sounds about right. Although I don't think they're going to like do all the loose ends. I doubt we get a resolution of the
Papa.
Wire.
Papa?
They're all dead. That's the resolution of the Wire.
Like, I don't know if they're all dead. I assume. So what are they going to, what's Isaac going to do?
He's going to bang Nicole.
He's got to start his drug empire over again.
That's
I
his
guess.
Idea.
No, he's just going to be a stay-at-home dad while she works as a nurse.
Maybe.
Wearing his pimp jacket and his
gold watch.
He could
be like a pimp.
The grocery store.
A drug seller and a nurse, that's a power couple right there.
Oh.
She can just smuggle out them.
Maxuka, do you got a mole prediction?
My mole prediction is me because I want to go underground and not watch the next episode.
Well, there's one episode left next. You gotta do it.
You can do it.
Okay.
Time jump coming.
Time jump is coming.
Oh, is the time jump coming?
I don't think they said there's a time jump.
It's
going to
happen in the last episode here.
This is it.
It's going to happen.
In the last episode or it's not happening.
Because they're going to time jump to his meeting at 11 a.m., right? They have to.
No, it'll be
11 a.m. I thought the meeting was 11 p.m.
Oh, I thought it was at 11 a.m. when you said that. Okay.
If it was at 11 a.m., that'd make more sense.
Yeah.
No, it's at 11.
100% at 11 p.m.
Okay. Well, maybe they won't do that then.
100%.
I'll give you a prediction, everyone.
Give it.
There's going to be no recap episode of the DBPL.
You mean we won't do another episode after the next episode?
Yeah.
There's one more episode.
Yeah, we'll do the next episode, but we won't do a recap I think we did a recap of.
Oh yeah, and after Live Another Day, we did two more episodes after the season ended.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
That's because it was a decent season.
Are we going to get the Blu-ray of 24 Legacy Season 1 and recap the Blu-ray?
I predict no.
Only if
there's a short on there.
With Mark Boudreaux.
Yeah, only if Mark Boudreaux is on it.
Who is going to buy a Blu-ray of this show?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Insane people.
Eric Carter's mom.
People that love 24, that have a 24 collection, maybe.
We love 24 and have a 24 collection.
We don't have a 24 collection. One person owns one Blu-ray.
You own a couple of seasons on DVD.
I technically only own one other season besides Live Another Day.
Okay.
He watches it religiously.
You have 24 the board game on DVD.
I do have 24 the board game
on DVD. And we also own 24 the game for PS2.
That's true.
That's an entire other day.
CTU.
Federal agent.
Oh, man. That went so south.
Yeah, that game wasn't great.
So
the game was amazing.
Anyone got any plugs?
Well, I heard there was a new episode of podcast Who Put This On last week, watching the new Fox show, You the Jury.
Oh, you, man. The Jury.
That was so bad.
Chris, I heard you were the jury. Was that right?
I heard we were the jury.
Oh, we all were the jury.
Wall.
I had a pretty good time with that one. It was, you know, was what it was.
I mean, for once in my life, it just wasn't long enough to do what they were trying to do.
Yeah. You can't try a murder case in an hour.
People were crazy.
Yeah. Turns out.
Listen to it. We don't want to spoil it.
I would like to plug the meat lamb. I think lamb is really underrated in the United States. It's really tasty. Really absorbs that marinade very well.
This podcast is sponsored by the Lamb Farmers of America.
No, this is just sponsored by my love for lambs.
Brian, get any plugs?
No.
Wow.
Brian looks like he's regretting joining this podcast.
No, I just find Max's comments or Max's plugs hilarious.
His hair plugs? Because they're pretty funny.
Those are pretty funny. But also so the plug good. For lamb.
All right. You can follow us at the DPPL. You can find us on facebook.com/thedppl. You can email us questions and comments at thedppl@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at thechrislorenz. See you guys next time.
See ya.
See ya.